So Lord, we declare that you truly are the worthy one. So many things crying out for our attention, for our affection, but only you are truly worthy. Everything else really is a distraction. Only you are holy, pure and beautiful. Only you are mighty with the power to change what needs to be changed and do what needs to be done. So Lord, this morning it's our pleasure, our privilege as your people just to bow the knee, sing once again that you are worthy of it all. Jesus, the one who laid it all down, the one who came and lived the perfect life, came and died that gruesome death, and yet rose victorious from the grave for our salvation, for our sanctification, our redemption, our healing. Truly, Lord, we owe it all to you. So as we open up your word, Lord, we turn our hearts and our minds afresh to you. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us, that you would show us what we need to see. We even dare to pray, Lord, would you change in us what needs to be changed? Would you redirect our path if that is what is necessary? Because, Lord, we want to put you first. We want to listen and respond to your word, your will, your ways. We want to declare that you are the one with the leadership and the authority in our lives, in our families, in this church. So your word wins. Your word wins. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher and the guide. Come and do what only you can do in this place this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Please take a seat if you haven't already. I'm going to attempt to awaken my technology. Okay. Well, good morning. How are we doing? Well, that was really, really, really inspiring. Thank you for your great enthusiasm. They're nearly gone now, so I can say it. I was watching, I'm going to get attacked by this. Sorry, Hannah, move your thing. I was watching the kids dancing around and singing, and then I watched the teenagers. Did you see? It was funny. We needed to resurrect the dead over there. It all happened over there. Anyway, don't tell them I said that. Please, don't tell them I said that. Okay, as for the adults, well, it remains to be seen. Okay, sorry. Serious, Jamie, serious. Okay, so diving in, as Simon hinted, we're on a new series starting today. It's just a mini one, just 3 weeks. This little thing called Christmas is looming large. I don't know you, I get reminded every day on social media how many days it is to go. Frightfully helpful. Anyway, we came, if you remember, out of October, which is a month of prayer. I know it feels a few weeks ago because it is. And actually, there were several reasons why we embarked upon that concentrated month of prayer. First of all, you can never pray too much. So by default, a month of prayer is a good thing. Also, fair to say that if we want to see the levels of prayer, the temperature of prayer increase in our church, then we need to give it that focus and that priority. We also thought it'd be a great thing to do across all the age groups, from the tiddly ones up to us grown-ups, all the age groups all together for a whole month. But there was another reason. Another reason was this: as we talked as leaders, I think probably in September, there was just a sort of bubbling sense of an escalation of opposition. As we shared stories and talked about what was going on, perhaps underneath the surface, the sense of this kind of increased stress stronger, maybe nastier personal attack that just seems to be there in this season. And that's why, really, this mini-series, coming out of prayer into the weapons of our warfare, spiritual warfare, I guess. I'd say this. If you haven't yet realized that you are in a spiritual battle, you haven't been paying attention. If you're losing more often than you'd like, then hopefully this series will help you. And if you are in a season of increased attack, we want to make sure you know what your weapons are and how to use them effectively. That's the plan. Before we dive into those weapons, I'm just going to lay some foundations, basic fundamental stuff, I'd imagine, but four of them. The first one is that the enemy has what the Bible describes as fiery darts. Ephesians 6, verse 12, familiar verse, says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm." And it goes through and lists the various parts of our armor. Verse 16, above all, it says, "Lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." So I guess the reality is there's an inevitability about this. There is a real enemy out there.